E-Radio. En duplex du Parlement européen de Strasbourg, Romain Lostis.
Aline Mitutsa, hello.
Hello and thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for having accepted our invitation here on EU Radio at the European Parliament. Aline Mitutsa, you're a European deputy from Romania, member of the group Renew Europe. And during this last plenary session before the European elections, the MEPs adopted one particular piece of legislation, the Gigabyte Infrastructure Act. You are the rapporteur on this piece of legislation. Can you explain us a bit more in what it consists?
Yes, so it has two parts, this Gigabit Infrastructure Act, and I'm glad that it was adopted with a large majority in the European Parliament. It has two parts. One part, it's about connecting the European territory and especially the rural areas with high-speed internet, 5G and optical fiber. And for that reason, we included a lot of measures in order to speed up the deployment of 5G and fiber. And on the other hand, we also introduced as Parliament a provision concerning the abolition of the extra fees for the intra-EU communication. And that's very important because, as you know, and I think the listeners also know the fact that we don't pay extra fees for roaming, but that applies only when we travel to another member state. It doesn't apply when we call from our own member state to another member state. For that, we have a cap of 19 cents per minute, so we pay 90 cents per minute. And what we achieve through this new regulation is that we will abolish this cap altogether, and we will be able to call from anywhere in Europe to anywhere in other parts in Europe at the same price as the national communication, so the local cost. And that, I think, is very important for the consumers, for the European citizens. I like to say that this is a sort of Schengen for communication, because we will be able to communicate without borders.
Regarding these very high-speed networks, you talked us about 5G, about optical fiber. Yeah. What were the problems regarding the deployment of such networks? Was it too slow to deploy in Europe compared to other continents, or was it too expensive?
Both, I would say. But so through this regulation, we addressed the first problem. So the problem concerning the slowness, the fact that we have the process for deployment of 5G and fiber is too burdensome for the operators, is too costly, and it takes too much time for the operators to have the permits in order to deploy the towers, for example, for the 5G, and so on. So what we did through this regulation is to speed up this process, through which the operators can install either 5G infrastructure or fiber infrastructure. And we did this through several measures. For example, we made tacit approval. We introduced actually the tacit approval in the text. That means that the operator can file a request to install, for example, a tower, let's say, and the authorities will have maximum 4 months to reply to the request. And if the authority will not reply in the 4 months, then there is a possibility to apply the tacit approval. That means that the operator will be able to install the infrastructure, let's say, immediately. And that's a very big win, because that means that, of course, the operators will be able to install very quickly the infrastructure that they need. Another measure, it's the coordination of civil works. That means that when you dig for, let's say, a cable for the optical fiber, and when you dig for you dig the street, for example, for water supplies and so on, you'll be forced and you'll be obliged to coordinate with different operators, either of fiber or of water companies. And that's important for the people living in the cities, because you'll not see all the time in your streets the diggings in the streets. So that's adds more comfort for the citizens, especially in the cities.
You mentioned the huge majority that brought the adoption of this text on Tuesday, the 23rd of April. Almost 600 votes in favor, only 7 against. Was it a long process to obtain a compromise between all the European political groups or not?
Well, I think compared to other files, because I worked also on other files such as the wallet, the European wallet, the European identity wallet, which took 3 years to negotiate. This one, the Gigabit Infrastructure Act, took only 1 year. But still, it was a big effort because we had, of course, to coordinate between the groups in the parliament and then to have the trilogues, the negotiations with the council,
with the member
states, with the member states, exactly. So, but I think we did a good, a very speedy process. In less than 2 months, we were able to negotiate with the Belgian presidency this text. And that's why we are able to vote it. We were able to vote it in this plenary session, and I think it was quite speedy, but still it took almost a year.
Now that this text is adopted, it takes part in the frame of a wider strategy of the European Commission to bring into light the most connected continent in the world as Europe before 2030, I believe. What concretely will that change for Europeans, for our economies, for consumers to live in the most connected continent in the world? What will it change? Yeah. Or 5G to be faster or connections to be easier?
Yeah, so as you said, first of all, our ambition and our objective is to connect all the continent to very high capacity networks. That means 5G and fiber by 2030. For the moment, we are quite far from this objective, so that's the reason why we adopted this regulation, in order to speed up this process. But I think we need this regulation and we need high-speed internet, because we adopted at European level many legislation pertaining to the digital sector. So in order to have more artificial intelligence, to have a digital economy, to have a data economy, we need the infrastructure. Without this infrastructure, the digital economy cannot exist. This will bring a lot of added value to the European economy, but it will be also important for the consumers, for the citizens, not only for the businesses, but also for the consumers to have, access to very good internet, not only in the urban areas, but also in the rural areas. And let's not forget also the transport corridors. We will speak in the future a lot about self-driving cars, for example. And the self-driving cars cannot exist without having a very good connection to the internet also on the roads. So it's what we do through this regulation. We speed up the process of, 5G and optical fiber throughout the continent. And I think this will add a lot of advantages both to the economy but also to the consumers.
And what about the European actors in such industrial sector of communications? How can the EU ensure or maybe install preference for European actors or European operators you were talking about? Is this text taking this into account?
Well, we don't discriminate between telecom operators. These rules will apply for everyone. I think our objective is the objective of the regulation is to help operators in general to deploy very high capacity networks and good internet. Don't have specific measures for European or non-European companies, but I think it's in the interest of the consumers and of the businesses to have access to internet, irrespective of where the company, the operator, is from, actually.
I say that because of the context of suffering from part of the electrical cars, for example, in Europe. Such European companies are suffering from the massive policy of subsidies practiced by China, for example, for Chinese companies. Are you not afraid of the same process happening in Europe now that the installation of 5G or optical fiber is easier?
I would not say so. I think in the telecom market, it's very different from the car market, for the auto market. We don't have Chinese operators in the European Union, and we have a majority of European operators, and I think we have the interest to support these European operators through this regulation. And of course, in other sectors, I think it's more complicated, but in the telecom sector, we need to support, and we need to support also the operators in order to deploy this infrastructure. And there is the question of where we take the money from. We didn't touch upon this issue in the Gigabit Infrastructure Act. This is something that should be discussed in the next parliament. So where do we take the money to invest in the telecom sector? Because we need something like 200 billion euros over the next years in order to be able to install this infrastructure all over Europe. And this is a pending, let's say, subject, a pending debate. We need both public money, but also private money in order to invest. And this should be, I think, discussed by the new commission, by the new parliament.
Alin Mituța, in the end, you would say you are satisfied by the compromise found between the parliament and the member state on this particular text on communications and deployment of 5G and gigabit infrastructure?
I think I'm something like 80% happy with the text, but that's normal. If you are 100% happy as a co-legislator, that means that the other co-legislator is less happy, so you risk that the text would not be approved in the other chamber of the co-legislators. No, so I think we have a very good text. We achieved what we wanted from the beginning. And in addition to this, we also included this question of intra-EU calls, which was not in the initial proposal of the Commission, and I think it's a big success for the European institutions, but most particularly for the European Parliament, because it was an initiative from us, and I think the citizens and the European consumers will benefit a lot from this measure.
But I thought roaming fees were already suppressed before. Okay, could you explain us a bit again you were explaining at the beginning, just for the listeners?
I would be happy to explain again. So from 2017 already, the roaming fees were abolished.
In
so
all EU.
Yes, in all EU. But roaming means that you are able to call with no extra fees when you travel, for example, from France to Belgium or from France to Germany. But if you call from France, so not when you travel, but when you call from France to Germany, you pay up to 19 cents per minute for the calls. This is not regulated yet. This is exactly what we did through these regulations. We abolished also this cost of the communication from one member state to another. So not only when you travel to another state, this is the roaming, but also when you call from your member state to another member state inside the Union. So that's the main difference, and actually what we included, it's much bigger than the roaming, because as I said, the roaming applies only in the specific case where you travel with your phone from your country to another country. But we included also the communication, which is the majority of the communication, when you call from your own member state.
When can we expect for such change to be entering into force now that the text is adopted? Mm-hmm.
So the regulation will already enter into force in 3 days after the publication in the official journal. That means in something like 10 days from now, it will be in the official journal and it will enter into force. But then for example, for the intra-EU calls, we have a progressive, some steps. That means that from 2025, the operators will have some incentives to lower the prices, and from 2029 the intra-EU calls, so the extra fees, will be completely abolished. But already from next year, the operators will have incentives to lower the tariffs and to include the intra-EU calls in the bundle. So this is already, I think, a big achievement, because as I said, for the moment we have only this cap of 19 cents. This cap, I think, it's much too costly and much too expensive, especially when you take into account, as you said, that the roaming it's already free, so it doesn't make sense to have 19 cents for the intra-EU communication when the roaming is free. So that's something normal that we introduced in the text, and I'm happy that we could do that.
One last question, Alin Mituța, more generally. So we said that the EU is now committed to communicate faster. We are now less than 2 months before the European elections. Are you concerned with the safety of this future, more developed network of high-speed communications?
I would not say that I'm particularly concerned, because we have this regulation. I think it's a big success that we have this regulation. We still need the answers concerning the financing of the infrastructure. This is the next step. So now with the Gigabit Infrastructure Act, we tackle the issue of the permit granting, the issue of the coordination of the civil works, the issue of bureaucracy, and so on. But still we need some better answers in what concerns the 200 billion that we need to invest in the infrastructure in the next years. As I said, we need public money from the RRF, for example, or other European funds, but also we need the private money, which would come from the telecom operators, but maybe also from other actors in the market.
Are those other challenges you will be fighting for in the next legislature, if you are running yourself for the...
I'm not running this time, but I hope the new parliament will fight for this, yes.
I thank you very much, Ali Mitoza,
well,
for your participation to this interview, and thank you all for your attention.
Euradio, en duplex du Parlement européen de Strasbourg, Romain Lostis.